made impact in our lives. He has made impact in my life. And is going to use every one of us from that place to this place, everywhere, to the very last person there. And the last person there, you will have impact in this generation in Jesus' name. And so together, we join in prayer. Father, we thank you. This is a great day, a momentous time, that you want to have great impact in our lives, so that we can go to our world and have great impact on our present world. Lord, I pray that no life will remain the same from this hour, in Jesus' name. Impact. 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 In us, on us, through us, with us, in our world, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you. I always enjoy your amen. It turns me on. God bless. You can sit down. We'll be traveling with the letters of impact. We started with I. Interrupting the insignificant to become an influential person. And then we go to M, moving up from mediocrity unto mastery with or by or through a miracle. The P is the call to pursue the purpose-driven life, to speak. A is advancing acts, actions, and attitudes to a very advanced achievement. And then C is the courage to cope. Coping, not copying out, for comprehensive and credible contribution. Tonight, I'll be dealing with tea. And that tea, I won't tell you, I want you to come. It's going to finalize everything. You'll be transformed. You'll be transported. You'll be translated. And you'll be taken to a kind of triumph that you never saw in your life before. Somebody give me the final tea. But today, I'm going to put everything together for the benefit of those who have not been with us. I'll take impact itself as a word, as something that comes upon you and works wonder in your life. Today, I'm talking to you on living with the mindset of impact. Living, walking, talking, acting, pursuing, going through life, living with the mindset of impact. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That's how to live. Let your conversation, let your character, let your conduct, let your way of life be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come to see you or else be absent, whether I am with you physically or not. Already, from everything you have learned, you have the mindset of impact. And so, whether we're physically together or not, or we are absent from one another, that I may hear of your fears, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with the mindset, with the mind, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. If you find anyone that has gone through all this series of impact, and yet there is no impact in his life, no impact on his mind, no impact in his way of life, and he's not making impact even on his or her siblings, not making impact in her little local family, not making impact in the school, in the workplace, in the marketplace, in life, where you find him or her. What can you say about such a person? The challenge with that person is, he has spelled impact in the wrong way. He has approached impact in the wrong way. And because he turns his impact upside down, he does not have the expected impact that a person who has acquired the mindset of impact that person has. What do I mean? Who is that person that you cannot see, and you will not see the positive, powerful, practical impact in his life? He is a person who is an incorrigible idler. Idol. He will not do anything with the hand. He will not walk anywhere with his feet. He will not do anything. He's idle. He is an idler. And he's an incorrigible idler. Is a meandering misfit. The rivers, if you look at the streams, they don't go straight. Why? They follow the way, the path of least resistance. They meander. And people like that, who put impact upside down in life, they meander. They are meandering misfits. And these are people, you may want to check them. A leader, a pastor, a father, a mother, a counselor, a coach may want to set them right. But they are proud parasites. They like to lean on other people. They will not read their own books. They will not spend their own money. They will not fetch for themselves. They are parasites. And when you try to coach them, instruct them, turn them in the right direction, and show them and tell them, this is the way, walk ye therein, they are so proud, though they are parasites. Now, they put their own impact zigzag, and they do not have the impact they ought to have. They are addicts. They are addicted either to drugs or to substance, or addicted to something that injures their lives. And you want to tell them, my friend, this thing and this part you are taking, you become addicted. They get angry, They get angry at the one that wants to lead them up. Angry addicts. Those are people that whatever they hear, whatever they learn, nothing seems to change anything. See there, you know, if you know people who argue, they are people that, you know, you can bring 17 reasons why this should be the path they ought to go through. But they are carnal contenders. Carnal contenders. They contend. They're full of contention. Always fighting. They're fighting for nothing. And they're fighting for what will degrade them and destroy them and defile them. They are carnal contenders. Unfortunately, are they going like that? But before I tell you this tea, what do you think of a person that the tongue sticks out and he never can pull back the tongue? You can see his tongue on the ground. You can see his tongue on social media. You can see his tongue drawn out big, and he likes to expose his tongue. Everywhere he is, all you see about him. What do you think about a person? You don't even know what about his eyes, about his ears. You don't know what's in the head, in that skull. You don't know what's in the brain. You don't know what. All you can tell is about, I know he has a big tongue, and the tongue is always out. Those are the people that have truthless tongues. Always wagging, always talking. You know, if you're going to have an impact, you must turn around and change all that kind of picture, that you will not be the incorrigible idler. You will not be the meandering misfit. You'll not be the proud parasite. You'll not be the angry misfit. And then you'll not be the carnal contender. You'll not be the truthless tongue. And once you settle that, what you will not be, then I can show you what you will be. And I see people before me who will be great. I see people before me who have the mindset of impact in their lives, in their society, in our country, in every country. The Lord fulfill it in your life in Jesus' name. Now, if you look at Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 20 there, it said, I am crucified with Christ. That Adamic nature, that sin that has the nature of the idler and the nature of the meander, that thing that has the nature of the proud parasite, that thing that has the nature of an addict and of an angry addict, abusive addict. You abuse your body. You abuse your health. You abuse your destiny. That thing has to be crucified. That thing that has the nature of the contending carnal convict. The person that has carnal contention every time, and the fellow whose tongue is always see. We don't know anything, whether he has anything in the brain or not, whether he has anything in destiny or focus or not. All that we see is that tongue, truthless, tameless, thoughtless, that tongue that is crucified. And so Paul the apostle comes, and you come, and you say, I am going to reach the peak. I am going to have an impact. I'm going to be an impact. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That will happen in your life. The three things we're looking at, very simple, yet impactful. Number one, A. Number two, B. Number three, C. Number one, admire, aspire, acquire the mind of impact. Admire it. If there's anything beautiful, if there's anything glorious, if there's anything marvelous in the world, it's the mind of impact. Admire it. Aspire to it. Acquire it. The mind of impact. Point number two, behold, believe, become with the motives of impact. Go through life. There are people who have made it and they had impact. They still having impact. They'll keep on having impact until the close of day. Behold them. Believe them. Become part of them. Behold. Believe. Become like them, or the motives of impact. Your motive is that you want to be a man, a woman, a person of impact. And because of that, you stare at them. You gaze at them. You look at them. You behold, you believe, you become of the motives of impact. Number three, C. Connect. Consecrate. Continue. Or the master of impact. The master of all times. The master, the coach of all people. The master, the power behind every success. The master, the maker of everyone that has had credible impact in the world in which we live. Know him. Connect with him. Consecrate with him. Continue with the master of impact. Number one. Number one is to admire and aspire and acquire the mind of impact. What kind of mind? I, illuminated mind. What kind of mind? M, meditative mind. P, what kind of mind? Peaceful mind. A, what kind of mind? Aspiring mind. C, what kind of mind? Courageous mind. T, what kind of mind? Teachable mind. If you have that kind of mind, that will give you impact, make you an impact, and in your world, you have unforgettable impact. I, the illuminated mind. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But call to mind the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great flight of affliction. Illuminated. The mind was illuminated. And they could see beyond the day. And they could see the future. And anything, everything that comes before them, because their minds were illuminated, enlightened. They were able to think right. They were able to act right. And they were able to live right. And they were able to be lifted up to the point and the place of impact. M, the meditative mind. Meditative mind. You see, people that do not meditate on what they see and what they know and what they hear and what they do, those people, they just jump from day to day and from failure to failure and from one ditch to the other, but they have meditative minds. In Psalm 1, reading from verse 1, Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Why? Why is it that he doesn't sit, he doesn't walk, he doesn't stand with all those people? He's a meditative man. He's a meditative woman. He has seen the edge of the one who is ungodly, and the edge of the one who is a perpetual sinner, and the end of the one who is a stubborn scorner. Because of that meditation, he does not walk, he does not stand, he does not sit in their way, in their counsel, and in their scornful stubbornness. Look at verse 2. It says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate. In his law does he meditate. In his word, the word of power, the word of progress, and the word that takes us from where we are to the very peak. In his word does he meditate day and night. What's going to be the result of his life? Look at verse 3 there. In verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's talking about me. I said it's talking about me. Illuminated, meditative mind. Number 3, peaceful mind. Peaceful mind. Somebody said, you cannot win an international war if you have civil war on your hands inside your country. The same thing with man. There are challenges coming from outside. There are conflicts coming from outside. And if you don't have peace inside, you cannot have peace with the outside world. We need the peaceful mind. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because it trusteth in thee. And now we have the aspiring mind. The one that said, I got that, but I'm setting goal for this. You know, there are people in life, they don't set any goals. They say they have resolutions. I said, what's the resolution to get you to? I just have resolution. What's your resolution? I want to be different this year. That's no goal. What's the difference? What's the height of difference? What's the nature of difference? And what's the margin of difference? I want to go places this year. That's not a goal. Which places? And where will those places lead you? But you have a goal. You search a goal. And you look up at a definite thing, and then you aspire. You are not satisfied with what had happened in the past. You are looking forward, the aspiring mind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though had already attained, nor were already perfect. The man talking here had written many epistles, and yet he said, not as though had already attained. He had traveled to many places and had converted many lives, not as though had already attained. He has spoken to authorities of every city, most of the cities he went, and yet he said, yes, I know what has happened, and I know what has been done, and I know what has been achieved, and I know the gains of the past. But then, I'm aspiring, not as though I'd already attained. Either were already perfect, but I follow after. That's a goal. I follow after. That's an ideal. I follow after. There's a path, there's a journey, and there's a peak. I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth, aspiring, reaching forth unto those things which are before. In verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's the kind of person that has an impact. He has an illuminated mind. He has a meditative mind. He has a peaceful mind. He has an aspiring mind. He has a courageous mind. A courageous mind. In Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I was waiting for your amen. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Look up here. Now, you know, if Joshua will say to himself, that looks like a joke. I know Moses before Pharaoh. I know Moses at the Red Sea. I know Moses at the rock when the water was to come out. I know Moses before Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. I know Moses, that Moses, a many manifold, talented man. How can I be like that? How can God say, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee? Let me come back home. I see that any time I say that the Lord will promote you and you catch up with me and be as I am and then go beyond me, I see people, they say, amen, but they say, that's like a joke. That cannot happen. If Joshua said that, he would not have realized what God was saying. What he said to Joshua is that, as I was with Moses, exactly in that way, I will be with you. As the Lord has been with me, exactly, he will be with you. He will bless you. He will lift you up. You will be a man, a woman of impact in Jesus' name. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Look at verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. You must have a courageous mind. And then there is the teachable mind. The teachable mind. Look at Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The problem is when some people have learned the alphabets And they've learned it so well, they can read it from beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning. They have mastered the alphabets. They become unteachable. You cannot teach them how to put those alphabets together and make words. The problem with some people, when they have learned the one syllable, two syllable words, and they are able to construct sentences, and they know the subject, and they know the verb, and they know the predicative, and they know the basic things, you cannot teach them anything anymore. Already they know the alphabet, they know the words, and they know some simple words, and they cannot improve on their vocabulary. But when a man already is an accomplished man, so to say, and is still teachable, saved, and is still teachable, born again, and is still teachable, he has begun a profession, and is still teachable. You know, if you are not teachable in life, you will not amount to much. Let me explain. Those who have learned and developed any field before the age of computer. Now computer came in, and we virtually do everything by the computer. Your fridge can work with computer, and then all the typing with computer, and everything. But if you stay with what you knew, even those of us who are teaching, we now can teach online, and we can tell our students to access the teaching online. We can grade them. We can post all those resources online. The people that refuse to learn in this age of computerization, they will not be able to get to where they need to get to, because the whole age is mastered and done with computer. A teaching mind. The same thing in the scriptures, the same thing in the way of the Lord. If we're going to have the impact, I, illuminated mind. M, meditative mind. P, the peaceful mind. A, aspiring mind. C, courageous mind. T, teachable mind. Now, point number two, let me show you some models. And we're looking at, we're beholding them, we're believing them to become who they were. Behold, believe, become, with motives of impact. What models can we bring forth? I, Isaiah. M, Moses. P, Paul. A, Abraham. C, Cornelius. T, Timothy. There are some sterling qualities in their lives, and they made an impact in their generation and beyond their generation. And because of that, we want to see what made them models of impact. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of Lords. Isaiah was not like an ostrich that will hide his peculiarities and his shortcomings in the sand and say everything is all right. He said, I've seen the King. I've seen the beauty and the glory of the King. And I know things are not all right. I am undone. And then in verse 6, it says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. Verse 7. Then verse 7 says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin purged. What does that mean? Wasn't it said in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, he was saved. He needed now to be sanctified. That nature inside him, the depravity inside him, might be taken away. And then after that, the sin purged. The Lord said, also I heard the voice of the Lord. You hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, look at that question, whom shall I send to take my impact, transformational impact, transferable impact? Whom shall I take? Whom shall I have to take my transparent impact into their world? Then said I, here am I, send me. The Lord will send you. Look at the next one, Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11, reading from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Many times, the good will stop the better. Many times, the good will cloud the best in our lives. And then something comes, and because, well, I'm waiting, whatever comes, let me take. And you take that as final. And so Moses knew, this is good, to become Pharaoh's daughter. And normally, they made their royalty to go in the same family, from the father to the son. Pharaoh had no son. He only had this daughter. And if this daughter adopted Moses, Moses would have become the king and the head of Egypt. Good. But it will hinder the better thing coming. It will hinder the best that shall come. I pray that the good that comes to you will not hinder the better thing that is still coming in Jesus' name. And so he refused. They say, how can you refuse that? How can you reject that? How can you give up that? They don't understand. They say, this is good. And then he waits. And when the Lord will lay hands upon you, he'll give you the very best you never dreamt of in your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Hold on. Choosing rather. He said, I would rather choose to suffer. Can I tell you something? That Moses, before Pharaoh, never suffered. Because Moses, a Pharaoh threatened, you won't see my face again. If you see my face again, I will deal with you. Never. Not possible. But Moses dealt with Pharaoh at the Red Sea. You will deal with them. They will not deal with you. All those plagues that came on the children of Israel in the wilderness, never did any plague come on Moses. They were thirsty. And then, how are they going to bring water? All the water for 3 million people. All that water was in the rock to be brought out by the rod of Moses. He chose to suffer no suffering. That was just his consecration. And you might say, Lord, whatever will happen, I will follow you. Nothing bad will happen. Nothing painful will happen. The Lord will take you through. He will take me through. He will take me through. He will take me through. And then he said, rather than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, it tells us, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I want you to see verse 27. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Look at this. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And God himself said, I talked to Moses face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. I, Isaiah, M, Moses, P, Paul. The Lord called that man, and he responded. And look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Almost unknowable, unsearchable, unfathomable, so deep, so wide, so high as the heavens, the Lord revealed unto him. And he said, now by grace, because I responded, the Lord has given me, and the Lord has sent me with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Abraham, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8, by faith, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whither he went, by faith. And that's how he became a friend of God. Can you think, can you imagine that God wanted to do something and God said, I will not do anything in the neighborhood of Abraham, my friend, except I tell him. And then he said, Abraham, I want to do something. Can you think of God consulting with a human friend? This is what I'm going to do. And then the human friend said, don't do it yet. Let me ask you a question, God. You are the God of all flesh. If you see 50 righteous people there, will you do it? Okay, I won't. I have 40. I have 30. I have 20. I have 10. Okay, I will not. Can you think of a man like that, that has consultation with God concerning people that are not even his own people, Sodom and Gomorrah, because he followed God by faith and he went out in obedience, not knowing whither he went. I pray that same favor will come upon your life. See, is Cornelius. We're looking at Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Acts chapter 10, verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent for thee. The Lord had appeared through an angel to Cornelius, saying for Peter. I've never heard of Peter. He's living in such and such a place. Well, immediately he sent for Peter. You know, many people, unfortunately, when they hear the instruction from the Lord, they say, I'll think about that. I'll see to that later. And then they leave the service, they heard the word, later, later, later. And then in the afternoon, they're forgotten. In the evening, they're forgotten. The following day, they're forgotten what they heard. And they do not act immediately. But Cornelius, immediately therefore I said to thee, and thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. That's the secret. Willing to hear whatever it is. It may come my way, it may not be in my way, I may like it, it may not be something I'm familiar with, but God is going to speak, and we are all here, myself, my wife, my children, my whole family, and the people that God has surrounded me with, all of us, and my friends, he went to bring them. We are all here to hear all things that are commanded of thee. And as Peter was speaking, he had not even finished, the Holy Ghost came upon them all. Timothy. Timothy was that selfless person. And in Philippians chapter 2, reading from verse 19, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that also I may be of good comfort when I know your estate. Then in verse 20 it says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Selfless man. Look at verse 22. In verse 22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. That's a man that was totally self-centered and Christ-centered. And if we're going to make a mark in our world, that's the model we need. The model of Isaiah, of Moses, of Paul, of Abraham, of Cornelius, of Timothy. Now we come to point number 3. We're seeing A, and we aspire, and we acquire, and we admire the mindset of the people who are for impact. And we have seen number 2, beholding and believing and becoming like these models of impact. Now, number 3, C, we connect and we consecrate. And we continue with the master of impact. Now, that master is Christ. Christ, our Lord. Christ, our master. When we connect with him, when we consecrate to him, when we continue with him, what impact is he going to have in our lives? I impact as our intercessor. M, impact as a mediator, the Messiah. Impact as a Prince of Peace. Impact A, as our advocate. Impact as a captain of our lives, as a captain of our salvation. T, as the truth, the way, and the life, the absolute truth, the final truth, the transforming truth, the saving truth, the eternal truth. I the intercessor. In Hebrews chapter 7, reading from verse 25, Hebrews 7, verse 25, Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As we come to Christ, that's the beginning. He wants to see God's plan for you, and he, by the right hand side of the Father, will be interceding for you and praying for you. You will become who the Father has ordained you'll become in Jesus' name. He's the mediator. He is the Messiah. The Messiah. Look at John chapter 1, verse 41. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, were found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And then in verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. Just like this gathering convocation is to bring you to Jesus, closer to Jesus, closest to Jesus, and then you're so near, his impact will not be wasted in your life. And Jesus beheld him, and he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called. He was now prophesying into his life. He was talking about the future now. Your future will not be like your past. Thou shalt be called Severus, which is, by interpretation, a stone. You will not be like a pebble. People can pick off from where you're standing, from where you are. You'll be a stone. You'll be solid. You'll be steadfast. And you will be successful. Amen in the Son. It is done. Peter did not understand what he followed. Peter cannot envision it, what he followed. Peter could not see the peak and the height, but he followed. And eventually, he became that stone. It took some few moments, but he became, I will become. And on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 came to the Lord, I will become. And then we're told he was at the gate. He said, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Peter did not see that before, but it came to pass. The height you cannot see. The peak you have not seen. And the glory that you have not seen. But you come to the Lord, you will soon see. I is our intercessor. M is the mediator Messiah. P is the Prince of Peace. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 31. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, a king and a savior, the Lord and the savior, a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What he has done for others as a prince, he will become a prince in your life, the counselor in your life, the controller in your life. He will take your places in Jesus' name. A is advocate. That's another word for a lawyer that defends you in the highest court of the universe, where you cannot have a lawyer, human, an advocate, human, to defend your person, to defend your past, to defend your property, and to defend your projects, and to defend the peak that is calling you to. You have Christ the Advocate. And he tells us in 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, there are people, they're Christians, they're born again. And when they become born again, they have joy. And they're almost flying in the air. They have springs under their feet. And they say, I never saw any joy like this before. And they're victorious. And then as they walk on and walk on, the joy subsides. And it appears they're a little bit depressed. They begin heart searching. What have I done? And then they look at this, they look at this. And it appears the accuser of the brethren comes to accuse them. And he gets into the point of despondency, not realizing they have an advocate who will silence the accuser for them. The Lord wants to remind you today, we have an advocate for the Father, a lawyer for the Father. Whatever has happened by carelessness, by prayerlessness, whatever has happened because you have the wrong crowd, well, the wrong thoughts, and you live in a way that suppresses or shouldn't have done that, our advocate in heaven will defend you. He will forgive you. He'll put you on your feet again. You will stand in Jesus' name. I have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, sometimes you want a family lawyer. They say, he has traveled. Can I reach him? He turned off his phone. He doesn't want to take any case or look at anything now. When is he going to come back? Well, we cannot even tell. Our advocate never travels away from the presence of the Father. Always with the Father. And whenever time you need to call, morning, noon, night, your advocate will be defending you. I have an advocate. I have an advocate. Always with the Father. Praise the Lord. He never lost a case. You will not lose your case. See the captain. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The death you should have tasted, eternal death, separation from God, he has tasted it for you already. And then in verse 10, we're told in verse 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. In bringing many sons to glory. What's he bringing you to? I said, what is he bringing you to? He will not bring you to shame. He'll not bring you to condemnation. He'll not bring you to defeat. He will bring you where? Where? Higher glory where? Highest glory where? In bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And now the chief. He is the intercessor, he is the mediator, Messiah, he is the prince of peace, the P, and he is the advocate A, he is the captain of your salvation C, he is the truth, everlasting truth. He is the truth, the supernatural truth. He is the truth that saves, the truth that heals, the truth that delivers, the truth that lifts you up until triumphantly you are there with him. John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, but through him. Because of him, because of his sacrifice, you can come to the Father today. And if you've come to the Father before, you can abide and remain with the Father. And all the promises of the Father, from Genesis to Revelation, will revolutionize your life. It's the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son, the truth, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Every yoke broken, all the chains shattered, everything dragging you down, the power is removed. Now, he'll make you free. Free to go and sin no more. Free to succeed. Free to be in good health. Free to pursue your life's calling. Free to keep on moving. Every hindrance is taken out of your way. Every hurdle, every hindrance, every stumbling block, taken out of my way. Every stumbling block, say that. Every hurdle, every hindrance, taken out of my way. Now you are free, go and succeed. Rise up and let us pray. Rise up and let us pray. You want to have the mindset of impact. The mind, the motives, the master for impact. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.